Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'm Stuart, and we got Larry on board, and thank the Lord for that, because he is our greatest updater of what's going on. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot going on. And I wanted to talk about Antarctica, the Nazis, UFOs, and stuff like that. But I think we better get into, because it all ties into Donald Trump, the rise of Trump, and the rise of the Fourth Reich. And that's probably where we are actually headed. And it really doesn't matter whether Trump knows it or not, does not know it. But anyway, hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Hello, Stuart. Thanks for having me.
Oh, love to have you on. Where do we start with this thing? What in the world is going on with Obama and Kerry and this 70-nation thing? This is probably the most serious thing that the American people actually are facing right now, if he goes ahead with this nefarious, evil plan. But I guess I'd have to say that Obama is revealing his true colors, that it, evidently the American people either didn't want to see or whatever. I mean, it was pretty obvious, as you and I have been talking for, what, quite a while, as to who he is and what he is. What's going on with the latest on the 70 nations?
Well, what's interesting is some of the nations that are lining up for this peace process meeting that's going to actually start early. It's going to start on Sunday. But I've got something I'd read you earlier.
Read it by all means.
Yeah, this is a report or a cry from the Israeli rabbis. And they gave four words that appear to be prophetic, and now we'll just have to wait and see if this happens. But we're watching, and maybe in the next few days, events that may lead up to some of these predictions. And here they are. I'll read them from the Israeli rabbis. Visions of Trump, Obama betrayal reversed, UN will fall, Europe will burn. So That's rather ominous. But the interesting thing, Times of Israel posted a report today. And let me read it here. It says the Paris Peace Summit of 70 nations, and I'll insert right here, Stuart, there are a number of people now, including Bill Koenig and others, that have come out and are warning about this 70-nation situation and that term 70 and all of this. But anyway, this Paris summit of 70 nations to declare two-state solution to the Middle East peace. Now, what's interesting, Stuart, and I'd shared that with you earlier, maybe somebody hadn't connected the dots, but we're using this term 70. This is exactly the same 70 nations that attended Shimon Peres' funeral in Israel, where Obama gave that speech and declared Jerusalem was not in Israel and part of Israel. And what's also telling, Stuart, something that many people have not thought about, is the day for this process or this Paris-France initiative actually was to begin Monday, which ironically, the first black president of the United States of America actually will have a hand in what goes on there, and that hand will be dealt apparently Monday, which is Martin Luther King Day, a holiday in America. So I thought that was interesting. But also there's a report from the Times of Israel that says that they've received information that a draft statement will affirm the international community will not recognize the 1967 lines or borders out agreement of both sides. Now, what's interesting here, too, Stuart, I heard Lou Dobson and John Bolton talking earlier, and they said, John Bolton said, isn't it remarkable that they're holding a Paris peace talks, a summit, that and actually, and I'll get your opinion on this in a minute, John Bolton was saying that the next few days is the most dangerous in America's history because there has historically never been a president of this nation as a lame duck in the last hours of his so-called administration that was going all out to attack Israel. And John Bolton's very concerned because they've learned that apparently Kerry's leaving early and beginning that peace meeting in Paris, France with the 70 nations on Sunday instead of Monday that will go into Monday. And then they're very concerned that Obama will then immediately move for another meeting before the UN and deal a deadly blow to Israel before he's out of office. And he said there will be tragic consequences if that occurs.
Well, I don't think there's any question that it's going to occur or that it won't occur. Let's put it that way, because Kerry some time ago said he was finalizing the draft, which means this draft has been laying around for a little while, and now they're putting the finishing touches on it. This is all rigged. It's all part of the deal. 70, that's kind of an interesting number. I went back and looked, and somebody sent me some stuff. I just want to read part of it. 70 elders were appointed by Moses, Numbers 11:16. Moses took 70 elders, along with Aaron and his sons, up Mount Sinai to have a special meal with God himself, Exodus 24:9-11. Ancient Israel spent 70 years in captivity in Babylon, Jeremiah 29:10. Jerusalem, the city kept 70 years of Sabbath while Judah was in Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah 25:11. 70 sevenths, or 490 years, were determined upon Jerusalem for it to complete its transgressions, to make an end for sins, and for everlasting righteousness to enter into it, Daniel 9:24. So this goes all the way back, and now we have 70 nations who are bound and determined, obviously, to get rid of Israel once and for all, which probably goes back into the Psalms, let's drive Israel into the sea and let her be remembered no more. And of course, I think the Lord probably has a different program in mind. That Obama is going to find out. Now, I understood that Obama was personally going to go over there. Is that correct?
I'm not sure on that. I cannot verify that information. I think originally the plan was him to make a trip. Now, whether he goes, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Right now, that cannot be confirmed because nobody is reporting on his schedules apparently at the moment. So he's in his last week or 7 days or 6 days maybe now of office, and he has become more clandestine and doing what would you call it, deeds of darkness into the last waning hours.
If these are his last waning hours.
Yeah, and you don't know that.
Very interesting.
Yeah, let me mention this, too. There's a report today came out on Fox that suddenly Obama, because of the normalization of our relationship with Cuba, and, of course, that's right out of Obama's mind. That's where that came from. He has now signed an executive order, which is absolutely evil because, here he is bringing all the Muslims into America, but now he don't want any Cubans that's running from the Castro regime. He signed a new executive order that any people fleeing, any of the Cubans fleeing Castro are now to be apprehended and returned immediately and detained. They are not entering America. So every evil act in his little evil mind is being played out in these last hours of darkness. And that, and I, like you said, you, and And, of course, John Bolton said these last few days are very ominous and dangerous days, and the American people really, they're not aware.
Well, they don't seem to be, and that kind of, if they go through with this, there have been a number of people that have had visions, including statements from the Lord, including yourself, about the if Israel is divided, the United States will be divided. And a lot of people are not aware that there is a mid-continent rift. And I read from a scientific article that this rift, it starts up in Lake Superior. In fact, Lake Superior is actually part of that rift. It's the deepest lake up there. It holds more water than all the other lakes combined, Great Lakes. But that rift then comes down south through Minneapolis, St. Paul, and down south and stops about somewhere maybe 200 miles or so away from the New Madrid fault line, and that would, of course, break open as well. And there, you, if that were to occur, you would have a huge inland sea develop. And it just seems odd to me that we have this mid-continent rift that nobody seems to talk about. But I did see a TV program about it, and I've read some articles about it. But otherwise, they're kind of keeping it all very hush-hush and quiet. And, you know, this area up here is not really known for earthquakes. And
well,
David
know,
Wilkinson. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to mention, ironically, when you guys begin to have earthquake activity in Wisconsin and Michigan and that area, that region, you know, I was trying to locate the location for the listings of the earthquakes there, and they say there aren't any, that you don't have earthquakes, so there's nowhere to list them. So there's not a running log of your earthquake activity, even though people are feeling it and hearing it. There's no, they don't even talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've even felt it. It's like a vibration, and things kind of wiggle around like your window stuff and, you know, the curtains and stuff like that. They kind of wiggle around. You can feel it in your feet, but they don't ever have earthquakes here. And there have been some, you know, those noises that people hear, and I've always equated that back with the inner earth. And the Lord said that the rocks would even cry out in the scriptures. And I'm beginning to think that those weird noises, they say, are actually coming from the core. It sounds like it's coming from the heavens, but it's just bouncing back. And so they're actually a core. And that is what's his name? Larry Parks talked about these earthquake booms and earthquake groans. And the release even of plasma balls that come up. There was a lady over in Eau Claire had a plasma ball, or several of them, rise up right out of her lawn and just kind of hover there.
Wow.
Kind of like what you call ball lightning, and I've had that happen in aircraft where they'll come into the aircraft and actually bounce around. They're kind of harmless, but it's like St. Elmo's fire that you get around propellers and wingtips. It's really weird to see it. So, but I don't know. I think there's a lot going on, and if they actually do divide Israel, the only thing that might stave off judgment, and you and I both have figured out that Trump means judgment, actually. So, if they divide it, the only way we might have a little stay would be if Trump throws the United Nations out of America, defunds it and throws it out, offshore, just closes it down and says, get out, which, of course, we should have done years and years and years ago. But it appears to me that what we're watching here is a collision. A thesis, an antithesis, and a synthesis, you know, what do you call that? Can't think of the name of it right offhand, but you have the collision of two opposing opposing forces. It creates a crisis and chaos, and then out of that chaos comes, obviously, the New World Order, which makes me believe that this is all being orchestrated, and Trump would not have to even be aware of it.
Order
he would
chaos.
Not have to be aware of any of this.
Is that
right?
That term you were thinking about? Is that that term you're thinking about, order ad ab chao?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the Masonic motto.
Yeah.
Out of chaos comes order. So they have to develop this chaos. And here's a headline. I need your opinion on this. This is strange. This is politics. D.C. National Guard chief fired days before Trump inauguration. The timing is extremely unusual. It doesn't make sense to can the general in the middle of an active deployment, rages D.C. Council Chairman Phil Mildison, after the general, who heads the D.C. National Guard, is an integral part of overseeing the inauguration, was removed from command, guess when? 12:01 p.m., January 20th, just as Trump is sworn in as president. Why would you do that?
Well, Stuart, coming from my point of view, who you know, I for one, who read too many books and too many thrillers and too many conspiracy novels, I would, gleaning from some of that data, which is sometimes historical, you would do that if it was someone that was in authority that would not go along with the plan they had been given. You get rid of them to get them out of the way, put somebody in to actually implement the plan. It's like replacing a few generals before a major coup. You know, I don't know. What's your opinion on that? What do you think?
Well, this is what I'm wondering, because according to this article, Obama is the one that does it. Unlike in the states where the governor appoints the National Guard commander in the District of Columbia, that duty falls to President Obama. So
well, that's
Obama's sacking
yeah.
this guy exactly as Trump is being sworn in. Now, why? The only reason you would do something like that is if something is going on within the National Guard. But
yeah,
like the rabbi
please.
Said, all of this is going to be reversed. And,
yeah,
you know, so
yeah, yeah.
far, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to mention the fact, Stuart, like you and I have said before, Donald Trump wouldn't have a chance, I guess you could say, in hell, if the Lord's hand wasn't behind him. If he wasn't by chance anointed of the Lord to do this, like Cyrus the Persian king, he wouldn't have a chance. I mean, have you even considered the opposition forces? I mean, they're still working. Matter of fact, they, Lewis in Washington, D.C. today got a group of congressmen, and they've now took a stand that and declared that because of Russia information and the way the election went, that Donald Trump is now declared an illegitimate president, and he's not eligible for the presidency and cannot be sworn in the inauguration. And so you've got a stand there that's already started. And, of course, you made the comment when I told you about that. Well, isn't it a little late? Because I thought Congress already approved, you know, that he was the president-elect, and they did. However, we're seeing one scenario, you know, have you ever in your wildest dreams, Stuart, imagined ruler against ruler that goes 24/7, 365 in America?
Yeah, just like Jeremiah says, ruler against ruler, authority against authority, and then violence in the land. So something is coming, and well, I don't know what to tell people, but here's what the headline says. During the inauguration, Schwartz, who was the guy that was just canned, would command not only members of the D.C. Guard, but also an additional 5,000 unarmed troops, rather, sent in from across the country. He would also oversee military air support, protecting the nation's capital during the inauguration. My troops, he said, will be on the street. and I'll see them off, but I won't be able to welcome them back to the armories. He said that he would never plan to leave a mission in the middle of battle. Now, he was appointed by George W. Bush in 2008 and has been since. He's been here for the two terms of Obama. So Obama's the one that canned him.
Yeah, so that's what's interesting. That's really intriguing, Stuart, because the guy that is over all of the security of the nation's capital at that moment in time is fired, terminated by the president outgoing in the last moments of his term. That gives me kind of creepy crawlies and ominous feelings, Stuart. Who is the new commander and what are his orders?
Unnamed. Obviously, they got a replacement, but who is he? The article, if it says, I don't see it right here in front of me. But anyway, I'm just kind of wondering why they would even consider doing such a thing.
I've read too many Stephen Kuntz novels. I can't comment on that hardly.
Well,
you remember his book, Liberty's Last Stand? Matter of fact,
yes.
After he was on Fox talking about his new book, and it came out, and I got one and told you to get one and told people about it, he has vanished, basically, and you've never heard about his book again, ever.
Well, they took it off the shelves, of course. You're allowed. So, okay, you made a comment that Trump would have never made it this far unless the hand of the Lord was upon him. There's only one other alternative that we have for the reason that Trump is still alive, still walking around, and still going to be inaugurated. And that would be that this is all planned that way. And that we're being scammed. That we are in the middle of a psyops operation, so to speak. A mind control operation. Only they're trying to control the minds of the American people by diversionary tactics, when something else that probably you and I have never even thought of is actually going on. What do you think? I mean, this is so getting strange, real strange.
Yeah, if you're gonna stretch it, cover all America, Stuart. Let me pull it. The edges a little bit further out, and let's say this, if that's true, what you're talking about, this would have to be a global psyops, because all the nations of the world are involved.
Yes, they are. Psalm 2, war. Folks, if you haven't read Psalm 2, get out your Bibles and memorize it, because that's what we're watching. And it does not matter whether Trump is aware of any of this or not. He could be perfectly innocent and is being simply used. Like they use the American people all the time, psyops. When I was a pilot, I flew the rock group, which probably a lot of people never heard of, but they were almost as popular, if not more popular, than the Beatles, called Yes. One of the guys that was in the Yes group, he was the lead guitarist. His name was Steve Howe. He's still around, still making music. Just an expert of experts. All those guys were expert musicians. I don't care for, what do you call it, heavy metal, I guess. To me, it's just noise. But he came up to the jump seat many times and started talking about psyops and mind control and how they run their concerts. And it's very, very interesting how they do it. And they capture them within probably 30 seconds. He says, you either get the whole thing memorized. And it doesn't matter if you're looking at 10,000 people, 20,000 people, or 50,000 people. You have to grab them within the first few seconds or a minute at the most. Once you've got them, you got them. And then you just play them like Hitler. That's what Hitler was doing. This is what Tavistock was all about. Mind control psyops of the masses of people, which leads me to believe that there's something me see if I want your comment on it, if I can find it. Got so many articles, like you got stuff all over the place.
Oh, my Lord.
While I'm looking at it, I'm sure you've got other stuff you'd like to bring up. Now is a good time. Let me try and find this.
Yeah, while you're looking for that, Stuart, I just going to mention something else. You're just talking about SOPs and operations, et cetera, et cetera. Barry Rothman's doing a new code, and I'm gonna get it for the next show, maybe next week, and mm-hmm. Talk to you about it, because it's got the words. It talks about a stupidity virus. It's a code, and humanity has this virus called stupidity, which you and I've talked about the word stupid for years. And I'm going to get that together, though. Did you find that deal?
No, but I do have one here that I do want to bring up to your attention. 10 aircraft carriers aligned in a row. Paul Craig Roberts. Readers have asked me why 10 or 11 U.S. aircraft carriers are lined up in a row in dock, allegedly for maintenance. It reminds them of the battleships at Pearl Harbor. Readers asked if this could be an indication that the deep state is planning a false flag attack on the carriers, as was carried out on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, in order to get the U.S. at war with the independent Muslim world, this time in order to get the U.S. at war with Russia before Trump could ever restore normal relations. Now, why would you put 10 of our big carriers side by side in a row? I mean, talk about what you just said, a zombie virus or stupidity or deliberate and willful. You know, everybody said Obama's just stupid. He doesn't know what he's doing. Yes, he does. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Two things I'll mention here, and like to get your opinion on it, actually. Some time back, Augusto Perez was taken up in the heavens, and he looked down off of the East Coast out in the Atlantic Ocean, and he saw the water was just foaming, absolutely foaming, massive foaming, and he didn't know what caused that. He didn't know whether it was a deep earthquake or a volcano undersea had come off or what had happened, but it raised up an incredible tsunami that hit the whole East Coast. Now, that's been maybe a couple of years or more ago when he had that experience. But the other day I saw a woman that had posted a dream she had had, and she said that she had been shown a war that was coming, and it would begin, she said, with what appeared to be a nuclear explosion, not on U.S. soil, but off the coast, and would devastate the East Coast. And I put those two together, and what do you think? Could we be in a real time of peril? You know, I remember the old movie Pearl Harbor, and I thought to myself then, those Navy guys were fools to line them up to get bombed. Maybe we've done the same thing all over. You know, Ecclesiastes says we do the same stuff all the time as humanity. Well, I'm kind of wondering if all along humanity hadn't done anything but produce false flags, and we just didn't have those words to call it.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it? I mean, mankind, really, humanity is a fallen creature. He's sub-Neanderthal, as far as I'm sure the Lord is concerned. He must look down here and say, what in the world is going on with those people? And he's destroyed us more than once. And we're coming up on the next destruction. And yet the vast majority of people can't see it, or they're in denial. They don't want to face it. Better to face it and make your peace with the Lord, so to speak, because this is coming, and it's coming very, very rapidly. And if Obama does this on splitting Jerusalem, we're going to be in trouble. Did you when we were off air this afternoon, we talked about, you mentioned, was it a rabbi or who was it? It had the vision of all those things going bad. Impact event, stuff like that.
I sent
Puerto
that.
Rico.
I don't
I didn't
have
get
that
a chance
in front
to
of me.
Read it.
OK, okay. I don't have it in front of me. It was a prophetic individual from India, I believe, Sandhu Sanjar or some kind of funny name like that. I've heard of him before, and he's really a spiritual person that apparently was shown a number of things was about to occur, and I sent that to you. It was from the Popsy. No, let's see. Yes, it was.
I think I know who that is.
Okay, Sandhu Sanjar or something to that effect. I'm not good on, you know, when you're born in Texas and you talk Oklahoman, you're all messed up, so I can't pronounce those names good.
Well, he's got long hair. He wears a great big beard. He's kind of dark skinned. Yeah, he's Indian. Yep. Well, what did basically he say? I wrote down some notes. New diseases in Western countries. Maybe it's a stupidity virus. That's been confined to the Beltway in Washington, but maybe it's going to spread. What do you think?
I think that it might spread outside Washington, D.C., kind of like the Limes got away from Plum Island.
Yeah. Well, that's something, that's a conspiracy theory. Of course, it's a true one, but you know how that works. Okay, then he said sky darkened. And meteor showers?
Right.
And
at the same time,
go ahead.
Yeah, at the same time, I was going to mention he was also warning about the impact event during these meteorite incidences off Puerto Rico that, you know, a lot of people done forgot about. You know, we heard about those prophecies. Augusto Perez is familiar with the man that saw some of this, and but this is new from this other guy.
Wow. And so this probably triggers all kinds of volcanoes going off, and there was something about this really causes havoc. Well, a lot of people live around these volcanoes, and remember that ne'er-do-well erstwhile No-Eyes, Native American shaman lady, who couldn't possibly know anything, and yet her prophecies are 100% accurate so far, said that volcanoes were going to be going off all over America, places never known for volcanic activity. A lot of people don't realize that the Great Lakes, for example, Superior, has got a lot of volcanic rock all around it.
Huh.
So, you know, all kinds of weird stuff. You also said something about there's a mystery in Damascus and that Israel may be to blame for all this. What is that about, other than Isaiah 17?
Yeah, well, what I was going to add to that Sanjar deal is he said a lot of this happened immediately after a betrayal of America's best friend. You remember me telling you that? America's best friend betrays Israel. And then all of this stuff starts, and, you know, that's what he said. And remember, I don't know if you remember me saying this or not, but he said he had used the number 70 and come up with everything was going to happen really bad, like 2018, and that he had had a spiritual experience, and I think it was Jeremiah appeared and with the Lord and talked to him and told him he was wrong. It was 2017, which means 5777, sure.
Yep, and of course Trump is 777 all over the place, and we've talked about the that's the end. Seven in the scripture is completion. It's a horrendous number, really, because if God's plan or his agenda for the church age is coming to an end, then tribulation can only begin, right? I mean, that's the way it looks.
It again makes you wonder, why is Obama so absolutely, in the last few days of his administration, so obsessed to destroy Israel, to divide Israel? It's an obsession. And I think we're beginning, you know, when you called him Lucifer, Stuart, you might have been exactly right. We are just now seeing the mask come off.
Yes. He has to run this last part totally naked, so to speak. You can hide your evil intent only so long, but then the betrayal comes out into the open. So then what he says is that when this betrayal happens, which is probably on the 15th, and then it goes to the UN, and you know as well as I do, the UN is going to ratify that in a split second, because this is all planned. So then Trump can't really undo it. So to save America, he would have to totally dismantle the United Nations. Now, what was that deal that the UN would fall, according to the rabbis, right?
Yeah, let me read that again, Stuart. Let me read that again, because maybe what we're seeing actually puts that into play. The Israeli rabbis talking about the time frame we're in right now. They're screaming visions of Trump, Obama betrayal reversed, UN will fall, Europe will burn.
Who was it that had the vision? Was that the Norway guy about a Blitzkrieg attack from the Soviets? Or, you know, I call them the Soviets because I don't think they ever broke up, really. That was all for stage play. But somebody had a vision where Europe was basically overrun, and very strange machines, submarine-like, came up out of the ocean and came on shore. I mean, it was a really I can't remember who had the vision, but he was well known.
Oh,
so I don't
well,
really,
there was
I,
one
honestly,
that, there, yeah, there was one visionary that actually saw the attack on America. You know, you remember that was Henry Gruber who saw that. And let me read these couple of headlines, because they fit in right here, Stuart. Let me get your opinion on them. Both of these are today. I posted them this morning from Yahoo News. Number one is U.S. troops by the thousands moving to Poland on Russia's border amid grave concerns by the Kremlin. And it reports also that the Kremlin, that Moscow has activated its anti-missile forces. They're already active and on. And Yahoo News posted a map this morning that it's on my blog. It says, this interactive map shows the high-stakes missile standoff between NATO and Russia. Russia has established a dense thicket overlap missile and missile defense systems that will hinder NATO's access. So this Russian border thing with Poland and Russia, and now Obama's inserting all these troops and the armor also into that region. This is right on Russia's border. He continues to poke the bear, as Trump is wanting to talk to the bear. But and it makes me wonder how deep this conspiracy goes, because all the left in America, Stuart, are continually trying to destroy any relationship that Trump might have with Russia at all that would offset almost an immediate war.
Well, of course, if they can eliminate Russia, which is what the goal is, but of course they better read their Bibles, because it is Russia and her allies that take the United States out. They destroy us.
Well, you remember,
it's right there in Jeremiah 50:51, Isaiah 47, Revelation 17 and 18. That's the United States. We're going to be nailed.
You remember, Stuart, Ed Dames, you remember that book I read, the last one he put out? He released information out of there that we had tried to do a nuclear, a quick attack on Russia, and remember our missiles wouldn't work, and the MIRVs wouldn't MIRV right, and we were unable. He said an unseen hand kept America from destroying Russia, and I think that biblically we don't destroy Russia. I think biblically possibly Russia destroys us.
Yes, absolutely. We're the ones that are destroyed, and that is at the hand of God. That brings us back to Trump. Now, what I'm going to talk about here, I'm not saying that Trump is aware of all of this, but it ties back in to the Third Reich. It ties in to what's going on in Antarctica. It ties into the arrival and very advanced technology. So let me just run down through this. Make a comment anywhere you want, Larry.
Sure.
These are what I call ominous parallels. And again, I'm going to say that Trump may not be aware of this at all. Probably isn't. Hitler, when he rose up, fought the communists. Those were called the, you know, the progressives of his day. Trump fighting the progressives, who are in fact the modern communists, who have been infiltrating America for years and years. Hitler came to power as Germany was in trouble, financially and otherwise. Trump coming to power as America is in trouble, poor economy and large unemployment. Hitler was a nationalist, the fatherland. Let's make Germany great again. Trump, a nationalist, America first. Make America great again. Hitler, concentration camps, roundups of people selected as targets. The list kept expanding. Trump, round up and deport the illegals. Will the list then expand further? Trump, now this is an interesting part for me, because I've listened to Trump very carefully. I really like the guy. And if we weren't where we were on the timeline, I don't think you could find a better guy to head up the nation.
Yeah.
But because of where we are, and we know that Trump means judgment, and maybe this is why, no mention of anything concerning the real issues behind the FEMA camps, NDAA, Jade Helm, fusion centers, Homeland Security, or reducing the surveillance state. To the contrary, he has stated that biometric IDs will have to be used. Then Hitler, getting back to Hitler, he helped the little guy. That's how he came to power. Reclaimed Germany for the people. Trump, for the little guy, the middle class, the working people. Hitler rebuilt the military, then began attacking, started World War II, essentially. Actually, he didn't start it, but he was very deeply involved in it, as you know. Trump rebuilt the military, surrounding himself with ex-military and active military, police and sheriff units who really loved the guy, and probably rightfully so. And he also has no aversion to mercenaries. And in fact, I think it was Sorcher Fall that claimed that he had hired in 300, I don't know if they were Spetsnaz or who they were. And, you know, Sorcher Fall, you don't know whether you're reading information, disinformation, or whatever. And then he talks about building the wall. But a wall not only keeps people out, but people ought to recognize it also keeps people from leaving as well. So what are we watching? This is what I'm getting at. I want your comments here. Trump does not have to be aware of any of this at all. He could be completely innocent of all of this. But are we watching a dialectic of the rich men in operation? Thesis, antithesis, synthesis, out of the clash between these two groups comes the new world order. What do you think?
Well, I think
it's kind of scary.
Yeah, an interesting concept, and it makes you wonder now with what apparent problems Obama is going to leave the world in. I mean, if he goes, I mean, I'm not sure of that exactly. I'm like you, Stuart. I'm kind of watching day by day, but if he does leave finally, what condition will he leave it in, and what will those dire circumstances push Trump to have to do to even save America for a little while?
Exactly. That's the whole point.
Yeah, that's the thing. If the rich men agenda's way in the background, way down the rabbit hole, working out of that lost location, so to speak, and mostly invisible, what position are they putting him in to have to operate? That's the thing.
Well, they're putting him in a position where he has to start a war. So Trump will be a war president, and war means America gets beat soundly. That's the judgment. And the Lord says, I love judgment. And I'm going to judge America. I'm going to destroy America. I'm going to take her out from coast to coast. Well, the Lord can use war, nuclear war. He can use impact events. He can split America into two parts. He can have volcanoes going off all over the place. He can destroy us with smart rocks, as you term them. And I love that comment. I think that's great. Smart rocks. There's something going on here that goes all the way back to Nazi Germany. And we know, I want to read you a little bit here. And this is from Gordon Cooper, astronaut Gordon Cooper, who talked to von Braun, Werner von Braun of the Germans, and he was brought over here in Operation Paperclip, as you know. This is what he says. Werner confided in me that the Germans were testing more than rockets at Peenemünde. That was one of their underground secret bases. Some of the craft we were developing, he said, were far ahead of anything the rest of the world had or even knew about. Then he said, you could almost not refer to them as planes. We flew several craft that were totally different. Very advanced principles were involved. We have pictures.
Wow.
Now, Byrd went to Antarctica in Operation High Jump in 1946. Nobody really knows what they went down there for, but he went down there with a huge contingent of men, aircraft, and ships. And then all
and
of a sudden,
whooped.
got whooped. And I have some pictures that were taken during that, and you can see UFOs, these circular craft down there. Now we have Antarctica coming into view big time. And somebody just found, I don't know who it was, but he's really sharp, and if it's for real, and I can't imagine it isn't, actually, there's a huge UFO they have found in the ice in Antarctica. They found it on, what do you call it? Google Earth. They found it.
Wow.
Somebody spotted it. It's clear, crystal clear as a bell. It's a huge craft. It's about 270 feet in diameter, maybe a little more. And half of it sticking out of an ice shelf. Why is Krill, the Pope, Kerry, Obama, all of these guys, and probably even Putin, and maybe even Trump, why are they going down there? And I guess my question is very simple. Are we being set up for the rise of the Fourth Reich? Project Bluebeam, high technology, holograms, anti-gravity, so-called aliens. Remember von Braun told Carol Rosen, it's all a lie, it's all fake, it's just for the military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
Now, we know that when we went into Germany, we took part of their top secret weaponry. They'd already channeled, they had, according to a CIA ops that came out of there, that they had at least three, if not more, operational anti-gravity UFOs.
Yeah, they called
them
Hanabu, didn't they? Hanabu.
Yeah. Some of the craft, I've got, what makes me interested in all this, somebody sent me Extraterrestrial Entities and Technology Recovery and Disposal. It's top secret, magic eyes only. It's an old manual issued back, I guess, by Roswell and that sort of thing. But inside, if you look at the drawings that they present to the people who are going to be in the retrievals, guess what you see? Hanabus.
Huh.
Cosmospheres. Dr. Peter Beter said that this was all divided up. When they went into Germany and they got all this stuff, they divided up. Some went to Russia, some came here to America, and they said some even went to Japan. Now, you may remember in Dr. Greer's Disclosure Project that there was a guy, he was a technician in photography equipment, and he was sent to this airbase. They'd had a breakdown. And he said when he went in there, people from every nation that he could see were there. What were they doing in a military base? So he goes into this high-tech room where the camera's broken down, and there's a sergeant or whatever he was, a kid. So he begins working on the camera equipment, trying to figure out what went wrong. And the kid says, hey, you want to see something? And showed him a whole bunch of pictures of bases on the moon.
Yeah.
You remember the movie Iron Sky?
I remember that. Sure do.
Well, it was presented as a satire. It started in Antarctica, where the Nazis were, and then they went to the moon, and they developed their saucer craft there. Now, when I studied the Martian situation at Tithonia, there were two UFOs on the ramp.
Yeah.
Whose were they? You were shown. At the same time, and you did not know what I was doing at all. I didn't tell anybody what I was doing. You saw UFOs,
I remember that.
Right?
Yeah, I remember that. That was a secret you had, and every time I'd call you after, and this was really strange because I began to have experiences with Mars, you know, and I was taken to Mars and shown things. Then I'd come home, and I'd call you and tell you, and you would say, oh, man, that's really interesting. But I was really seeing the locations and places and things that you were seeing in real time from NASA or JPL images, and I didn't even know about them.
Yeah. And remember when I released it, you called up and said the Lord told you it's going to be a non-event.
Oh, yeah.
Well, nothing
yeah,
could be more true. That's what it was, a non-event. But what I'm getting at is this the Nazis? Is somehow we're going to see the rise of the Fourth Reich, and it's going to come right out of Antarctica? And a lot of this stuff of ancient civilization, not that it's true, not true, because it obviously is. You and I know that from the Bible. But could that be kind of a, how do we say, cover for what's really going on? And that what we're going to watch is a blue beam arrival, and it's really Nazi technology and the rise of the Fourth Reich posing as an invasion that Wannar von Braun told Carol Rosen, it's all a lie. It makes you wonder.
Huh. Well, it does make
you
wonder. And I very well remember the movie Alien versus Predator and how that a satellite found something, and they're now reporting, Stuart, you know, and you've seen the data that they have sourced the same thing in Antarctica that was in that movie, basically.
Yes. In fact, if you go in, there's a video by the secure team, I think they call themselves, on YouTube. Type in secure team, you'll probably see it. You can see holes that are obviously been either laser-beamed entrances deep in Antarctica. And it may look like this saucer is just sitting there, or that when Google Earth took the picture, it may be that it just caught it coming out.
Huh.
I mean, the thing is huge. Now, Dr. Peter Beter talked about these cosmospheres, and I've seen those. I've seen some weird, weird stuff in my flying days. Because we were flying the jets, and we were up there, you know, 40, 50,000 feet. And you see a lot of stuff that nobody knows anything about. And, of course, that's when my buddy, Ed Haynes, told me about the meeting with Eisenhower at a secret base in either New Mexico, I think.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm telling
yeah.
you, it's true.
Well, you know,
so
I remember.
What I'm getting at is, are we about to see a full revelation of this? It almost seems like
it. Maybe we are, Stuart. Maybe we're actually about to see a full revelation of what Eisenhower, remember, he warned America from his day. He said, beware of the military-industrial complex. Remember that warning?
Yes, I do. And I remember what Admiral Byrd had to say. I got it in we're releasing another prophetic insider here shortly. And this is what he said. He gave an interview. And this is a kind of a repeat. Admiral Richard E. Byrd warned today, now this is way back, warned today that the United States should adopt measures of protection against the possibility of an invasion of the country by hostile planes coming from the polar regions.
Hmm.
What in the world is he talking about? Go to pole in high speed, at high, very high speed.
Yeah.
I think he's talking about the Nazis. I think they did go down there. They channeled all that information. You know that. They got this through fallen angels or whatever, demonic activity. And that's probably where a lot of this anti-gravity engineering came from. So
well,
I think it all ties together. That's all I'm trying to say. I think the rise of Trump, the Antarctica stuff coming out into the full open, and what Obama's doing, the Third Temple, the rise of the Sanhedrin. I think we're here, Larry. I think we're here. 5777.
Wow.
What do you think?
I think that's very interesting, and especially chiming in, you know, with Stan Dale on your show sometime back, releasing the data about the Fallen Ones base, the underground base there in Saudi Arabia. And I did see the presentation he gave later on in Colorado about that, and I saw the I think I sent you the images of what he's photographed by satellite, and then later he said it's been covered over. You can't find it by satellite anymore. So this all ties in almost with a type of an arrival or an invasion.
That's what I think. I think this is all coming together real quickly, and that the New World Order is going to have a lot of Nazi overtones to it. And hence, wasn't it Stan that said they operate out of Antarctica, the anti-gravity craft?
That's right.
And that was a long time ago. That was years ago now, I think, that he said that. So it sounds like we're in for quite a ride, don't you think?
Well, I do, Stuart, and I also remember a number for the last few years, and especially after Stan did some research into the Book of Daniel, he said, whatever all this is, talking about arrival and the invasions, and that, he said that we're imminent. It's imminent. It is imminent. Remember him telling us that?
Yeah, and he was kind of scared about it, because what he found out when he did Daniel was that these entities are not going to be very pleasant, whether you want to call them Anunnaki, aliens, whatever. It's a kind of like a human alien government being set up, and they've been in operation now for a long time, and I think we're just now at the time of the great revelations. So anyway, people, hang on to your hats. It looks like we're going to have a rough ride when you got people like John Bolton, UN ambassador, telling you, or ex-ambassador, telling you to look out, seven dangerous days. He means it. He knows something. Okay, Larry, how do they get a hold of you? And thanks for coming
on. Yeah, the quickest way is my blog, LarryWTaylor.org. That's LarryWTaylor.org. And it reminded me of that movie, The 7 Days in May, because we've got about 7 days.
Yes, I know. They're dangerous. Everybody, don't forget to pray for Darnette. She is improving, but prayer always helps. And thanks for coming on. Thanks for listening. We'll see you later. Good night.